This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Okay, last night was a crazy night in Philadelphia. But thankfully, all six cops who were shot will live. Thank God. These guys risked their lives. These men and women who risked their lives to put on the badge for us, wear the shield, and put their lives on the line. It's a dangerous, dangerous job, and we should appreciate everything that they do. And I'll tell you what, the overwhelming majority of cops are good people who want to just do the right thing and keep their city safe. That's all they are. They're vilified in the media. They're vilified by the left all the time. And it's a damn shame. It really is a damn shame. And I'll tell you something. Last night's a great example of the fact that if these guys and if the men and women did not choose to become police officers, who would? What would we do? That's why I respect them, because they've chosen to do a profession that I, quite frankly, didn't have the cojones to do. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say it. I think they have more courage than I do to be able to go down that line of work. It's a very dangerous job. And you know, my dad was a law enforcement officer, and I'm very proud of him. And he didn't want me to follow in his footsteps. I wouldn't want my son to follow in Papa's footsteps, you know? The men and women that do this job for us, it's a dangerous freaking job, as last night showed. Six cops shot, and they could have died. And their families, the tension and the stress of it that they must have been going through last night, it's amazing. By the way, that is, of course, our big story of the day today here on the Cioli Show, which is brought to you by the Federal Communications Commission. If you watch free TV with an antenna and some of your local channels are missing, you can find them again by rescanning your TV using your remote. If you're not sure how, learn more at fcc.gov/TV rescan. All right, 855-839-1210 is our number for you to weigh in on. You know, I think the front page of the Daily News, really, the picture here, they show four cops. Two cops are black, two cops are white. You know, you think about all the grief the cops got for a couple of them posting stuff on Facebook, right? And all the grief that they get and all the outrage and everything else like this. The overwhelming majority of the cops in this city, this is a very diverse city, very diverse police force. They work side by side with each other. They have each other's back, and they strive to do the right thing every single day. Meanwhile, what happens too often is the police are vilified because of one bad actor. Then everybody who wears a badge has to then be tarnished by that. That's what the media does. And then, of course, today, the media and the left will make this all about gun control. They'll make this all about gun control and not about the shooter, not about the bad guy who never should have been on the streets in the first place. This piece of garbage, this S-bird who never should have been allowed to be on the streets. Because he was arrested time and again, over and over and over again, even threatening to kill a woman, and he was still somehow on the streets. That's because the district attorney, Larry Krasner, doesn't want to put these people away. Because Larry Krasner believes these people are victims. It's the same socialist mindset he has that is all too pervasive on the far left, which is that people are criminals because of the fact that they are in poverty. It's not them. It's us. It's our fault. How do I know that? I just look at his Twitter feed. I look at Krasner's Twitter feed. That's all. I look at his Twitter feed. You know, somebody said a caller called up and they said he did his time. He served his time. He's out of prison. He'd like to have his rights restored. I've always been a proponent of that. But this guy he didn't serve his time and then try to go straight. This guy was on probation committing crimes and back on the streets. And this guy was committing more crimes and back on the streets. This guy his life had not turned around. This guy was a dangerous man, allowed to be on the streets of Philadelphia, allowed to be on the streets. And then we have Jim Kenney, the mayor, with his sanctuary city nonsense. Sanctuary cities are not about protecting illegal immigrants who work at bodegas and aren't hurting anybody. Sanctuary cities are about this. This is what happens. Ready? A guy's arrested by the Philadelphia police. He's put into jail. The feds find out he's in jail, and the feds say, please hold him. We want him. We got him on something, too. And the city says, no. No. So we're not protecting, you know, little old lady immigrants at bodegas who are just trying to feed their family. We're protecting criminals with sanctuary city laws. That's what we're doing in Philadelphia. Now, Larry Krasner, the district attorney, retweeted this from this guy from the Ellison Report. All right. Poverty equals bullets. Lack of investment. Schools are crumbling. Lots of economic distress, etc. Young people making bad decisions in stressful situations in a society where there are more guns than people. You notice how the individual is not at all to blame here. It's a bad decision. But the guns in the society and the poverty, that's the problem. Lots of these issues, gun violence in Philly, can't simply be solved by arrests. Arresting our way out of the problem doesn't work. Listen. Actually, you're wrong. Arresting a guy like this shooter last night is exactly what you want to do. You have to get this guy off the streets because he's going to hurt people. And last night he did hurt people. And he had hurt people before. Instead, now come after my rights, even though I've done nothing wrong. 855-839-1210. Bill is in Marlton. Bill, good morning.
Oh, good morning, sir. Recognizing that it's not really practical and or constitutional in retrieving guns already in possession of gun owners. But what about tightening up the sale of those heavy rounds of ammunition? You know, forget the 22s or the slight rounds for target practice, but the big guys in those automatic military weapons, couldn't that be tightened up?
What military weapons?
The AK-47 type of rounds.
You don't think a semi-automatic handgun is a military type weapon?
Absolutely.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Okay. But regardless,
Not regardless. Do you think they use semi-automatic handguns in the military?
I'm sure they do.
Okay. So do you classify them as military weapons too?
Okay.
What in your mind is a non-military weapon? Like an old six shooter in the Wild West, or what?
No, 22 at the rifle range for target practice.
So a 22 or a rifle at the range for target practice. That's all you think we should be able to have?
Well, you can have anything, but at least monitor the sale of the ammunition for the heavier duty.
Monitor the sale of the ammunition for what purpose?
Sell it to only to, you know, people that legitimate purchasers.
Okay, so in other words, then if I'm a legal gun owner, I've got to pass a background check to buy ammunition, and there's a limit on how much I can buy.
I see the weakness in my own argument.
Okay, well I respect you for saying that.
So you don't think that would work, right?
Well, do you? What's the number? What do you think's a reasonable number for ammunition that I could buy as a legal gun owner? What do you think it should be?
100 rounds.
100 rounds. Can you do a lot of damage with 100 rounds?
Sure.
So, well, why 100? Maybe 50.
Well, if not the amount, if not the number of rounds, at least having the sales be legitimate as opposed to wackos getting 100-round canisters, you know, just to...
Okay, all right, fair enough. So let's assume then the point of saying it's so legitimate law-abiding citizens purchase ammunition. Okay, but does that stop a guy like who shot last night at the cops? I assume his ammunition was probably not purchased legally. Does that stop him from getting ammunition?
It might dry up the quantity on the street.
How? I mean, drugs are illegal. I think the quantity of drugs on the streets are probably doing quite well. I mean, if people can't get something legally, isn't there usually a black market that then says they can get it illegally? Isn't that sort of how the black market works?
Counselor, I agree totally with your...
I'm not a lawyer, my friend, but listen, I appreciate you being man enough to have the conversation and agree that there's a giant hole in some of that thinking, but I appreciate it, Bill.
Take care.
All right, buddy, thanks. 855-839-1210. John is in South Jersey. John, good morning.
Morning, Rich. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I hope this is going to be a slap in the face for the press, what they did last night. It was absolutely horrible. There was a story weeks ago on Channel 10 that that nobody really realizes. There was a story about city workers were complaining about their money being short, and the press covered it, and they showed on the graphic how much they were short, $100, $200. But the thing is, they also showed the full price of their pay, and it was a lot of money they showed. And in my opinion, it's bribery money for just do what's written. Don't think about nothing. Just sit there and smile at the people and I don't know, man. It's
Well, you know, talking about last night, because I'm not familiar with the other story, but last night, I mean, the press live streaming the situation was inexcusable, because you put law enforcement in danger, you put the community in danger, and the police had to tell them to stop doing that with their helicopters, to back up and stop live streaming it. Now, you know, obviously there's a First Amendment interest in covering the actions of government. I understand that. But the First Amendment is not live stream it and weaken the ability of the cops to be able to safely apprehend a suspect. That's not what the First Amendment's about.
No.
There's no reason to live stream that on television when you know the guy's watching where the cops' movements are. That there's no First Amendment interest in that. None whatsoever.
There isn't, but for all the intelligence that and the care that these people are paid to sit there and show. Now, with all due respect to Dawn as well and her family, but
She was on the side of everybody saying stop live streaming it last night. Don't worry, she's one of the good ones.
I understand that. Yeah, but
and there are good ones in the media. I mean, John, I'm not going to pretend like they're all bad. They're not all bad, you know.
No, I know that, but the whole all three channels, local channels, four actually, I cannot stand because they care about they say they care about the city, they care about the people, and they laugh and joke. But nothing ever gets solved. All they do is just show what happens, to the city and then to the nation, and then just show a little nice little feel good story at the end to say, look, we're on your side about everything. Well, nothing ever changes.
All right, buddy. Thanks, John. Appreciate it, man. Have a good day. 855-839-1210. No, in fact, and Dawn pointed out to me that you made a great point. What they could have done last night with the video is
what they could have done is recorded everything. They've got cameras all over the place. So what you do is, if you're experienced and you've been on these scenes, there were a lot of rookie reporters, no offense or disrespect. But what you do is you say, we are recording everything. And when this is hopefully peacefully resolved, we will show it to you and police will be able to probably use it and review it.
Right.
But for right now, as we're live, we're not showing the scene. We're not showing the movements or technical situations of these officers to protect not only the lives of the officers, but the residents who they're protecting. To me, it is reprehensible, and it was completely irresponsible. And I will note that if you look at Eric's at PPD, if you look at the police's Twitter feed, and you look at the timeline, he in bold letters says in the beginning, started at 4:30, choppers back off.
Right.
They don't quite yet. But then the choppers back off. But then you and I were tweeting out, the reporters on the scene back off on the ground. 9 minutes later, Eric PPD was tweeting out, do not show these tactical movements. So I can't prove if it was the Zeoli army who was, but I mean, the Zeoli army went nuts when Zeoli tweeted that out.
Yeah.
So I do think they were being social media shamed to back off and stop it.
Right. And again, record it because it's in the interest to make sure we're monitoring government's actions. I understand that. But there's a difference between recording and live streaming.
Correct.
So the guy can see where the cops are hiding so that he can pick them off. And that, again, that's just common sense. It's common sense. You know, the First Amendment's not there to be able to enable people like this to be able to see where cops are hiding when they're trying to apprehend him. And we live in a day of technology. So, yeah, record it, show it later. There you go. Boom.
Absolutely.
Problem solved.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay, back to the phones. Danielle's in Philly. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Go ahead.
So back in 2009, I was working for a bank, and we were robbed. we did have GPS bait money, and we ended up catching the bank robber roughly 7 minutes after he exited the bank.
Okay.
When I went to his sentencing, I came to find out that this guy had purchased his weapon legally. It was registered to him. He had a job making $40,000 a year. He was a college graduate. No mental health issues. Like, even the judge sat there and looked at him like, why did you do this? So I don't understand how all these people advocating for stricter gun laws, like, that wouldn't have protected me from being a victim of a gun crime.
No, and I assume, I don't know the law, but I assume bank robbery is illegal too?
Pretty sure, yeah.
All right. Again, I don't want to make any assumptions. You know, you're right. I mean, this is the thing. These people, if they want to commit a crime, they're going to find a way, and there's not a law that's going to stop them from doing it. So why do they make it harder on you to be able to protect yourself from people like that?
Exactly. And, you know, because of my experience, like, I was really young. I was terrified of guns after that. My husband now is from the Midwest. He's a big gun advocate, and he finally convinced me to go to the gun range with him and shoot, and I'm not afraid anymore. But that experience really did affect me for a long time, and I got nothing for it other than grief.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. And where are you working now, by the way?
I work in a nursing home now. Got out of any type of retail environment.
Good. Did you have any PTSD after that? Did you have to do therapy or anything like that?
Because I had I had spoken to my boss the day of the robbery and told him that I needed a day or two just to, like, get myself together, company policy stated that I wasn't allowed to come back to work until I spoke to a therapist. That therapist said that I had PTSD, and he put me out of work for nearly 4 months, even though I constantly asked him to go back. I mean, yes, I already have anxiety issues. I'm an anxious person to begin with, so it did affect me mentally. But I don't feel like I had, like, a full-blown PTSD, like, issue. But that's how that went.
Yeah, I can imagine that's got to be really scary and really stressful. So you sound like you got it all together and good. And by the way, if you want to meet a stressful person, come in the studio and see Greg Stocker. He's never been robbed at gunpoint, but you would think he was.
Why are we?
You know, Danielle?
Insulting me.
Thank you, Danielle. Great call. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, too.
You're welcome. Well, I didn't insult you.
There's no need to.
Was that a shot at Greg for an unprovoked attack?
Poor Greg. Had no sleep last night. Colby, the dog, was under the bed shaking with the storms.
Yeah.
Colby beef.
Colby, yeah.
Oh, that's the steak I'm making
Colby
tonight.
Cheese.
Never mind. Oh, Greg. Colby, right.
No, I was...
Yeah. Why?
No, I'm just sitting here and, you know, trying to monitor this radio show, and you're dragging me into it.
Danielle was a great caller.
She was.
Huh?
Yeah. She was.
Oh, you have her number? Why don't you call her back and tell her we'll get her Zioli Army shirt for her troubles.
You have the new ladies shirts.
We have the new ladies shirts came in. They look great. We're going to do a drop tomorrow, a t-shirt drop tomorrow. But yeah, tell Danielle, I can't say tell her to call back because it might be a Danielle impersonator.
There's also open lines, so she can't call back even if she could.
All right. So we'll get her a shirt for her troubles of being robbed at gunpoint. That sounds awful, but she's sounds like she's got it all together, which is great. Greg would have peed his pants in that moment.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
I would have cried.
Right, Stocker?
I would have cried like a little girl. It would have been awful to see.
Just a puddle.
Just
underneath.
A puddle of, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Please don't kill me. Please. Yeah, I don't know what I would do if I was ever in that situation, because, as you know, I'm not really a tough guy. So,
well, that's why we honor the police on this show.
Exactly.
Right?
What you said earlier, that you didn't have the cojones to be, I couldn't, I mean, I don't have the cojones to be a roofer, let alone a police officer. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. Because I'm also afraid of heights.
Yeah, exactly.
Frank is in Jamison. And the heat, right. Heat waves. Frank's in Jamison. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I'm a longtime firearms owner. And back in the 60s, he had that tower shooter in Texas where he shot a lot of people. As a result from that, in Pennsylvania, I'm not sure about the rest of the country, you had to sign your name, address, etc. to purchase ammunition. Now, that was any type of ammunition, whether it was a .22 caliber or a .458 lot, which is a big bullet. And the result was that it did absolutely nothing. I mean, it prevented nothing. So they dropped it. Now, it was sometime in the 70s that they dropped it. And it just doesn't work. It's ludicrous. Give you a little, another little tidbit. I just came off 2 years of the Southeastern Pennsylvania federal grand jury, and I was on the firearms end of it. Of all the scores of cases that I heard, and I heard lots of them, there was only one legally owned firearm, and that was a gentleman. I can't give any specifics because it's against the law. But it was one guy that handed his legally owned firearm to an illegal alien. Illegal aliens aren't permitted to possess a firearm, and taking possession means picking one up. That's the only one. So one thing in common, all the criminals that I heard the cases over, they're all illegally owned, whether they bought them off the street or stole them. And that's about all I have to say about
that. That's all you need to say. Thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Listen, I also want to tell you throughout the program today, taking a lot of your calls on this, 855-839-1210. This email I just got is pretty touching. I don't know if I just got a really special email, but I'll share that with you hopefully before the show's over today. I just got to verify it, but pretty incredible stuff. You'll know what I mean in just a second. 855-839-1210. Let me take a quick call here again. Let's see now. Russell is in Bent Salem. Russell, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good. So my take is this guy should have been taken out in a body bag, not in cuffs, because when he gets back out on the street, he may kill 6 cops.
Well, I tell you what, 2 things on that point, right? So number one, unbelievable the fact that the Philadelphia police took this guy alive in custody last night. What a testament to them. What a testament to them following the book on that. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Secondly, I hope to God this guy's not coming out of prison. There should be no reason why he ever sees the light of day ever again after this.
He should have been out on the streets yesterday. So, you know what's going to happen in the end. He's going to be back out on the streets, especially in our sanctuary city.
There's no way a judge is going to let this guy back. I put it this way. I think the odds are very against this guy ever being out on the streets again, at least anytime soon. But, you know, let's hope that the right thing happens here.
I hope you're right, Rich.
Thanks, Russell. Appreciate it, bud. 855-839-1210. No, I mean, the Philadelphia police, we have the audio, actually, of the guy surrendering last night. And clearly, of course, the eyes of the nation are watching this. They have him surrounded, and they're trying to get the guy peacefully, and they're tweeting out that they're trying to get this guy peacefully. There's no more need for violence. You want him to surrender, you want him to surrender. And in that moment, anything's possible. Anything can happen. What a testament to the cops in this city. Take a listen. Hands up. And there were a lot of cops who were sitting there inside going, drop your hands. Please drop your hands. Drop the hands. Oh. Drop them. Just drop them. Come on. Drop them. But they didn't. And the guy was taken alive. So, again, just another absolutely the phenomenal police force in the city.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
855-839-1210. Ty is in Elverson. Ty, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. Great show. I've been listening to you for a pretty long time, following you around. Get one of them T-shirts. My daughter married a Zeoli.
Oh, get out of here, really?
I don't think it's a relation, but anyway, he knows about you. Anyway, I talk it up all the time.
So you have a Zeoli in the family?
Apparently I do now, yeah.
Wow.
And there's another Zeoli on the way. So, she's just found out she was pregnant. So,
well, congratulations. Anyway, well, I think we can take care of you in that situation, right? I think we can. I'll ask the corporate show. I'm sure we could probably help out if there's family members. You know.
Sure. We'll have everybody with every story they have. Oh, yeah, you get a shirt. Everybody gets a shirt now.
Like Oprah right now. Go ahead, Ty. What did you want to say?
So anyway, I called a couple years ago. And you know, I say this, and I probably really don't mean it, but I kind of do. I think it would solve the problem. You know, with cameras and everything today, you can tell what's going on in a crime. And if a guy or a girl comes to a crime with a gun, if they would just say, listen, you decided to bring this gun to this show, and you decided to try to use it, guess what? You're done. Now, I said the death penalty. Next guy sitting in the room deciding, you know, we're going to pull off this job at the McDonald's. You know, we're going to, you know what? The last three guys got executed that took a gun to the crime. And my point is, it's not the gun. It's not the bullets. It's the person that's causing the problem. And you know, what are you going to do? Take my car away because I ran somebody over? You know, it's not the car.
Right.
It's the person using the piece of equipment that caused the problem. It's that simple. And if we can't have responsibility enough to figure that out, I mean, you know, I don't own a gun. Oh, actually, I do own a gun, but I don't have any bullets for it.
Well, you may want to, you know, a gun without a bullet, it doesn't do much good. I mean, you throw it at somebody, but...
I hold it out the window, and I tell him, listen, back off, you know. So, but anyway...
All right, you know, be careful. You're about to become a grandpa now. Come on, you know? All right,
anyway,
put you on hold, Ty. Thank you for the call. Put you on hold. Joe's going to get your information over there. We got to verify, of course, that there actually is a Zioli in your family, of course. 855-839-1210 is the number.
How are we going to verify that?
I don't know. DNA or something? Okay, I don't know.
Submit a DNA test before we send you
or get your shirt. Kathy's in Bluebell. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. Your passion.
Kathy, you're breaking up. Try to call back. I can't hear you. It's all static. All right, let's do another scanner. I want more of the police scanner from last night, Greg. Of course, if you're just joining the show, where you been? Last night, six cops shot. Thank God they're all safe today. The suspect is in custody. It's a little bit more of the police scanner from last night. Take a listen.
15, assist you, officer. Shots fired. Shots fired.
Car stand by. Car stand by. Car stand by. Car standby. 50 officer police priority. Shots fired. 3700 North 15th. 50 officer police by radio. Shots fired. Car standby. 50 officer police by radio. Shots fired. Car standby. Car standby. 3700 North 15th Street. Shots fired at police.
15 North 15th Street. Give me what you got. Multiple shots.
Car standby. Car standby. 50 officer police by radio. Shots fired. 3700 North 15th Street. 39th District, 3700 North 15th.
We got radio station 101 in your priorities. Shots fired at police inside the property.
Inside the property.
15th North 15th Street.
Sorry, any injuries to police, sir? 39th District, shots fired. 3715 North 15th.
We'll barricade with them at all.
Possibly injured officers, we got a possible barricade.
Great radio.
Some of the police scanner from last night. Representative Val Demings was on TV last night using the opportunity during the shooting to grandstand. This is a member of Congress. Take a listen. Cut five.
Saw the mass shooting in El Paso and Dayton. Now what's going on in Philadelphia. You're a former police chief in Orlando, and you're following this conversation that we're all having about gun control in America. What's missing from the conversation that's going on right now?
What's missing from the conversation is that every poll shows you that the overwhelming majority of the American people are in favor of background checks, for example. And so the question
now, let's stop it now. You know what? It's a disgrace. You're a former police chief. You can't say there's a middle and ongoing situation out of respect for the cops. I'm not going to politicize the situation. No, because you're a Democrat, so why not politicize the situation? Go ahead.
For example. And so the question is, why is the Senate refusing to move legislation that we passed in the House months ago? The other part of this conversation, I doubt very seriously that if this shooter in Philadelphia was armed simply with a handgun, that this gun battle would be going on well beyond an hour. I think we can assume that he is also heavily armed with high capacity rifles or weapons, and also has high capacity magazines. So while we look at passing legislation that requires that every gun sale, every person involved in a gun sale has to go through a background check, we really need to have a serious discussion about getting these weapons of war. And doggone it, today is a clear indication of that, as the men and women of blue are under fire in Philadelphia. We need to get these high-capacity weapons and magazines off of our streets.
She didn't even know what guns he had. She's just throwing this out there. I have an idea. I have an idea. I want to know. I want to ask you guys your opinion on this. What do you think about this? I want to propose a law.
Okay.
Makes it illegal to shoot at cops.
It's a very bold statement, Rich.
Do you think I can get the bipartisan support necessary to have that passed?
I don't know.
I don't know.
We have to make sure that people don't shoot at the police, yeah. Don. We can't allow that to occur, and we need this bipartisan common sense solution. I'm about common sense solutions, Don. That's all
true.
I want. Common sense.
Common sense.
All right?
It's bold actions like this, Rich, that will get you elected.
I agree. Because if this guy knew it was illegal, see, Greg, he didn't know it was illegal to shoot at the cops.
It's true.
He didn't know that. Because maybe it's not. I don't even know. So that's really the issue here. Because this is clearly a law-abiding citizen. Yep. Had he just known that was against the law, he just wouldn't have done it. Yep. You see that? But if we make it illegal to have those weapons of war, then he'll definitely follow that law, too.
Weapons of war.
The new talking point, the weapons of war. That was my Queensryche cover band in high school.
I loved your Operation Mindcraft or Mindcrime.
Oh, living the dumbest time ever. 855-8300. Yes.
By the way, all of this happened last night on CNN on Wolf Blitzer show. If I'm not mistaken, I think Wolf Blitzer's on at 5 o'clock. I think the shooting started at 4:30. So literally they had no idea what was happening, but all these people, all these politicians came on and were speculating.
They had no idea what was happening. She's speculating about the gun the guy's using. I mean, I don't know, but I assume. And then going on, and then policy prescriptions to deal with that of the gun that she doesn't know the guy's using, which he should not have because it's illegal for him to have it because he's a criminal that he bought illegally. And then there's Wolf.
Wolf.
And there's Wolf. He also had on a little, what's her name, Kamala Harris last night, who also took the time on Wolf's show to talk about her totalitarian policies that also would not have stopped the shooting in Philadelphia last night.
It's...
Uh-oh. It crashed again?
The blue screen of death. I'm sorry.
All right, you got the blue screen of death. That's all right. You know what? We'll say good morning to Dawn. It's 8:07 anyway. I'm way over. So hi, Dawn.
Good morning. 74 degrees. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and Zioli Show News brought to you by Hint Water. So let's talk about the scene right now. Detours remaining in place around the scene of the crime, the shooting, the standoff, the hostage situation in North Philadelphia. This is the Tioga Nicetown neighborhood near Temple University, Temple University's campus and hospital. So police continuing to investigate. Broad Street is open to traffic, but portions of 15th and Germantown Ave remaining closed right now with a major police presence. So the eyes of the nation, many, many prayers focusing on Philadelphia, our police officers who were shot at, a gunman surrendering early this morning following that standoff with Philadelphia police lasting nearly 8 hours, leaving 9 police officers injured and recovered this morning. So 6 shot, a total of 9 injured. The standoff started as we said, 4:30 in the afternoon, a house near 16th and Erie. Sources say this identify the suspect as 36-year-old Maurice Hill, a felon, legally barred from possessing a firearm. In fact, he was previously convicted in federal court of illegally doing just that. So this is a career criminal, according to police sources, a career criminal for his entire adult life. That's who allegedly was shooting at these officers. And by the way,
Don, what do you think about my other bold plan? Criminals who aren't allowed to legally buy guns are not legally allowed to buy guns.
That's a good one.
Do you like that?
Let's start there.
That's my next common sense solution, Don.
So these 6 police officers were shot. Here's the thing, the tension and the pressure, because 2 SWAT officers were trapped inside the home until about 9:30 last night when they were safely removed along with other people that were hostages. So the tension was unimaginable for those officers, just trying to make sure that those 2 SWAT officers were still safe. An incredible situation, why a lot of people call this a miracle that no officers suffered life-threatening injuries. So police say this morning the gunman confirms he was able to monitor officers positions and shoot at them while watching local TV news coverage with the news choppers overhead and many, many reporters and live crews reporting on the ground showing those officers. We have the White House was monitoring and offering federal assistance. We know that the ATF, DEA, there were many federal officers who came to bolster the efforts of our local police. Governor Tom Wolf also pledging resources and putting out prayers for the officers and the residents as well. The hospitals being praised where those officers were rushed and treated. Many families thanking the police. We had two daycares. If this drama is not enough, two daycares caught in the middle of all this. Imagine being a parent and hearing or getting a text. This is the text that went out from police. Parents, guardians of children from Shake, Rattle, Roll Learning Center on Broad and Precious Babies Daycare. You can retrieve your children at 3643 Germantown Ave on the bus out front. So, man, these kids, wow. I can't even imagine, you know me, I mean, these parents were losing their minds just with worry. But these officers, one of the great priorities was getting these children who were brought into stairwells, and good job of those daycare workers, because they put the kids way down in a stairwell, kids getting calls or calling mom and dad, the older kids, but some were six-month-old babies. So everybody did an amazing job getting these kids out of there. Ultimately, as we know, concussion grenades and the suspect out with his hands up. And he's in custody facing very serious charges as well. I also want to mention...
I salute the police for taking him alive in custody. I really do. I mean,
unbelievable.
And they did it by the book, and you gotta admire that.
Patience and discipline. I've done a lot of stories on the police chaplain, you know, talking about chaplains. There were the police chaplain, I saw at least one on the scene, and hugging officers. A very emotional toll here. Police being brought in and out by the busloads. And I saw on Fox News Rick Leventhal comment at how exhausted those officers appeared as they were being.
Long
you
night.
Can't even imagine the physical exhaustion, but also the emotional exhaustion.
All right. Absolutely.
So much news going on. And I should mention yesterday, tragically, New York City, the ninth officer committing suicide. On a lighter, brighter note, I'm sure Zioli will talk about this on one of these days. Cardi B sat down with Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate, and that's gone viral, that whole video, talking about her fingernails and everything. So that's
can we get some audio
of
that?
Video.
So they've released a promo for it, which I have, but the full video of it will be released tomorrow.
Oh,
so we'll
fantastic.
Have them on the show
Can't
for tomorrow. But I have the promo.
Hold on the promo. Yeah. We'll do it right after the news.
This day in history, real quick, August 15th, 1780, a major victory for the Swamp Fox, Lieutenant Colonel Francis Marion in South Carolina, the father of guerrilla warfare. So
you can't say that. That's racist.
Oh, what? The Swamp Fox?
Guerrilla warfare.
Oh, sorry. What do we call it?
No, I'm kidding. But you remember that happened to that tennis player?
That's right.
The guy who wrote about her and said she uses guerrilla tactics,
oh my gosh.
Guerrilla warfare tactics.
She should have said Swamp Foxette.
There you go.
Eyewitness weather. It's going to be, look, tomorrow through the weekend, beautiful. Today, we just have to get through a few storms that might pop through in the 1 o'clock hour. Let's talk about hint, sparkling, or still water infused with fruit essences, watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, mouthwatering and water. Dawn with Zioli Show News.
All right. Thank you, Dawn.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I also would like to mention, as I'm doing today, it's Bold Solutions. I want to thank Peter Armstrong, one of my new advisors. Peter proposes we make it illegal to hold hostages. I think that is an outstanding common sense solution.
If not you, then who, right?
If not now, when?
If not now, when?
If not me, then who?
Yeah.
So there.
We don't do things because they're easy. We do things because they're hard, right?
I say ask not what you can do for the...
Yep.
Anyway, 855-839-1210. Breaking news. This is amazing. Got to file this in the didn't see this coming category. John Hickenlooper has dropped out of the presidential race.
We hardly knew ye.
John Hickenlooper is no longer running for president.
What a shocker.
Right now, the people who are most surprised by this are... Yeah, I can't think of one, actually. I got nothing. I got nothing on that. John Hickenlooper, who showed up to the first debate, they thought he was a member of the press. Remember that?
Zioli predicted all of this.
He's the guy, former governor of Colorado. Shows up in the debate. They go, yeah, media's in row three. And he goes, no, I'm a candidate. What's your name? John Hickenlooper. They're like, mm-hmm, right. Row three. All right, go over there and relax.
Back of the line, buddy.
We'll be with you shortly, sir. You go in the back. And then Hickenlooper's first question, when he got there, finally made it on the stage, his first question that night.
Yes.
Who's valeting my parking? Who's going to take care of that for me, all right? 855-839-1210. This is the commissioner of the Philadelphia Police Force, Richard Ross, describing the event last night. Cut number seven.
Around 4:30 today, officers were serving a narcotics warrant in a house in the 3600 block of North 15th Street. They had already entered the premises and got towards the rear in the kitchen area when gunfire erupted. The shooter fired multiple rounds. Officers returned fire, many of whom who had to escape through window barrage of bullets. Right now, we can tell you that there are six police officers who were struck by gunfire. Thankfully, all of them are in stable condition. They were struck throughout their body. One officer sustained a gunshot wound, a grazed wound to his head. Thankfully, that was all that was. Got an officer shot in the arms, got officers shot in various parts of their body, but fortunately, everybody's going to be okay. We have three here. We have three at Einstein. We have a couple officers that were actually injured responding to the scene.
So the question then becomes, how did the media and the politicians handle this last night? Let's start with Kirsten Gillibrand. She's a fascist. She used to have an A rating from the NRA when she was a congresswoman from upstate New York, and she pretended to be pro-gun to get elected. And then she became a U.S. senator from New York. She had to run statewide, since she became anti-gun. Now she's running for president as a woke Democrat, so now she wants to confiscate guns. Got it? She went from being pro-gun to anti-gun to confiscating guns. This has been the political evolution of Kirsten Gillibrand running for president of the United States, who once said, I have two guns under my bed, to now we will come in and send the feds in to confiscate whatever guns you have under your bed. Talking to Poppy Harlow last night and Jim, whatever his face is, Scudio? I don't even know. Cut three.
We are supportive of a mandatory buyback program of weapons. It was brought up first by Eric Swalwell, who was running for president in your party. Cory Booker has talked about that. Some have gone as far as to say not only should it be a mandatory buyback of assault rifles, but there should be criminal prosecution for those who don't sell them back. Is that something you support?
So I think we should ban assault weapons as well as large magazines. And as part of passing that ban, do a buyback program across the country so that those who own them can be compensated for their money that they spent. But I think both of those ideas are strong. I think having
mandatory
buyback combined, well, you don't want people to retain them, because if you make them illegal, you don't want to grandfather in all the assault weapons that are all across America. You would like people to sell them back to the government so that you can make sure people who shouldn't have access to these weapons couldn't have them.
The next prong of that is, if you're supportive of a mandatory buyback, then the next step is that you then criminally prosecute those who don't sell them back, which could result in jail time for those individuals. Are you supportive of that?
So the point is, you don't want people using assault weapons. And so the point is, if you are arrested for using an assault weapon, you're going to have an aggravated felony. I mean, the whole point is, when you make it a crime to own an assault weapon, then if you are found using it, that would be the issue. So it would just be part of your law enforcement in terms of what you have access to. Okay. It's in the same way that you need to have a certain certification, a certain approval to have a suppressor on your weapon. Mm-hmm. That's why the NRA is desperate to make it easier to get suppressors where you don't actually have to get a specific license or certification to have mm-hmm. that suppressor. So they just care about guns. They care about money. They are funded by a lot of people, including gun manufacturers. And gun manufacturers care more about gun sales than the safety of families.
Right. By the way, a mandatory buyback is a cute way of saying confiscation. All right. The fun with words that the people on the left use sometimes. A mandatory buyback means that you must turn in your weapons. You just get a rebate for it. That's all that is. It's a confiscation. You must turn in your weapons. We give you a rebate. That's still confiscation. And if you don't turn them over, well, then you're going to be a criminal. And then she dodges that. Well, if you use one, you'll be a criminal, but the ones that already have them. Well, yeah, it's illegal to have them. So then you have to, mandatory buyback is not the same thing as an optionary buyback or an optional buyback, right? There's a difference, okay? Mandatory means you must do it or there's consequences under the law. So a mandatory buyback means turn in your weapons. But don't you love, they're all in on it. They're all in on it together. Just this absolute bastardization of the English language to pretend like we're dumber than we actually think that, I guess a better way to put it would be, we're dumber for having heard Kirsten Gillibrand try to swing around and dance through that nonsense and then get back on her I Hate the NRA talking points. It's like, wow, I'm going down the road of confiscation here and putting people in jail for owning weapons. NRA sucks! She goes right back. Right back to the NRA talking points. Amazing. In the middle of all this last night, CNN started to speculate on what was happening in Philadelphia. So the cops are under fire. Well, nobody knows a damn thing. But CNN decided to now, well, why not just start fear-mongering a little bit? Cut to.
As you said several times, and it bears repeating, I think, this is an active situation. We don't know how this is going to end. And more importantly, we don't know what it's all about, but it's an active situation. And unfortunately, I don't want to say it's the new normal, but it is this kind of situation where you have an active shooter is coming across our phones and coming across the phones and you know, bulletin alerts of people all across the country very, very frequently, which is why here in Washington, there has been a renewed discussion about whether or not finally the Republican and Democratic Party can come together and figure out ways to stop this, whether it is gun control, any form of gun control or other means. Unfortunately, these stories are continuing and it's happening as we speak.
Several police officers apparently in Philadelphia.
And you know, it's gun control. So we're going to make it illegal for bad guys to have guns, which is something we really need to do right now, to pass a law that says if you're a bad guy, you can't have a gun. And while we're at it, I say pass a law that says you can't shoot at the police. And another law that says when they tell you to surrender, you have to surrender. My surrender law. This is a bold initiative I have. I've thought about this for a while
now. Very
bold. When you are told to surrender, you can't shoot at cops, you have to surrender.
That's far out there, Rich.
We need action.
I don't know if you can get bipartisan support on
that. If not now, when? And if not me, who? I know it's bold. The police say, "Get surrender." Damn it.
Who's funding that, by the way?
Is this mandatory surrender? See, I think we need to make police surrenders mandatory. That would help. Right now, it's optional, apparently. So, see?
Optional, please. Optional surrender.
Surrender if you want.
Yeah, now it's, you must have mandatory police surrender. Police tell you to surrender, you have to drop your weapons, stop shooting at them, and you have to now be arrested. This is the bold, common sense solutions I'm offering for America, Dawn.
They're good.
These are good, right?
Maybe just tell the felons, hey, register your illegal gun.
Oh, I love it.
And they'll all just come in. Could have it like at the library.
Bravo. Register your illegal gun and we'll give you a donut or a sticker.
You have to give me it. Yeah, I registered. It's like giving blood.
Yeah, like I voted or I gave blood. I registered my illegal firearm. And then we'll have a database of all the, so at least we'll know where the illegal guns are. Okay, we'll know that. All right.
Idea.
I think it's bold.
There's a lot of those in North Philly I've seen.
I'm sure, right? I mean,
all those guys walking around with the stickers on and the little things of juice.
I get a free juice and a cracker, you know? It's amazing.
And a jelly donut, yes. Not just any donut. Wow.
And we're going to make it mandatory for criminals to not have guns.
Rich, I mean, you sound like, you know.
My mandatory disarm criminals bill, which means that if you're a criminal, you must turn in your guns.
Yeah.
Go to the police station and turn yourself in. Also, if you have an outstanding warrant at the same time, you could do both. Because you probably do. But I want, Dawn, common sense solutions for America. Yes. My rule is that if you are a criminal and your gun is illegal, you must turn it in by 5 o'clock today.
Okay.
That is how we'll get illegal guns off the streets, Greg. Bold solutions for America.
There's lines around the corner right now in Albany.
Light it up left and right. Because Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, came out last night and he says they need help. They need laws. They need more laws. We're here to help you, Mr. Mayor, you grandstanding coward who won't come on this show. Are you, by the way, is he on HYY right now? Have we checked?
I'm sure he is.
Is he checked? Have we checked
on
that?
I'm sure
he is. Cut 12.
But our officers need help. They need help. They need help with gun control. They need help with keeping these weapons out of these people's hands. I mean, I told you earlier, the two little boys that were, the officer had his head grazed just a little bit more, and those two little boys will grow up without their dad. Because this government, both on the federal and state level, don't want to do anything about getting these guns off the streets and getting them out of the hands of criminals. This guy is clearly a criminal. He is a criminal, and he had apparently a long record, which I'm not sure if I don't have it in front of me, but has been involved in the criminal justice system before, and he was able to get these weapons and a large magazine, a large amount of bullets. Whether it's our six officers who were shot or it's some 15, 17, 20-year-old kid on the streets of Philadelphia who gets shot with guns that shouldn't be in people's hands. And it's aggravating, it's saddening, and it's just something that we need to do something about.
I agree. So here's what we're going to do.
Uh-oh.
We're going to make it illegal for people who can't own guns to own bullets. What do you think of this now? Here's my anti-criminals with bullets proposal.
Okay.
If you are a criminal, you have an illegal gun, your bullets also illegal. See, this is the loophole, Dawn. The gun's illegal, but the bullets are apparently legal, and so they're able to use the bullets.
It's like the gun show loophole. This is the bullet loophole.
We got to close the bullet loophole.
Yep.
Okay?
Got it.
Close the bullet loophole. If not now, Dawn, when?
That's right.
Okay? If not me, who? Common sense solutions. The problem is what happens is guys go in to buy a gun and they get the background check and they go, no, you're a criminal. You can't have a gun. Damn it. But I could sell you ammunition. All right. Load me up. I'll back up my truck.
He had a lot of ammo.
Well, that's the other thing too, Dawn. I want to limit. Here's my other bold solution for America. Criminals can only have 10 bullets. 10 bullets.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I mean,
drug dealers, criminals, gang members are limited to 10 bullets each. I know this is going to be uncomfortable for them. They'll have to deal with it. But I believe this is the kind of bold action we need.
Well, I mean, they are known to abide by the law, so. Yeah.
Right. You know what's going to happen is that they're going to be sitting there, the Bloods and the Crips going, I just shot 10 caps in his ass, and I'm out. I'd love to shoot an 11th cap in his ass, but
he just can't.
I can't. It's illegal. No. It's illegal, so...
And they'd never stock up,
because
that would be breaking the rules.
Dawn, that would be crazy. Where would they even put everything? I mean, my goodness, you know? Yeah. They got the oatmeal, the barley, and the wheat, and then the bullets, and I got a cookie jar. So...
Oh, my goodness.
He deserves an 11th cap in his ass, but 10 is the rule,
all
right?
Sorry, I have to abide by the laws.
I think if we start there, we'll really do some great things for America to keep our streets safe. Close the bullet loophole, make it illegal for criminals to possess more than 10 bullets, and also to mandate all criminals with illegal guns must turn in their illegal guns.
Boom. Those are the bullet points.
I'm running for president, and I've approved this message. Thank you. By the way, I have a better chance of winning than any of the Democrats running for president right now. Just saying, for the record.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.